Underdogs, I hope you're having a good week. I was lucky enough to be a guest on Overtime Radio with AJ, which is a sports talk show that happens live every Sunday on WATR 90.3 FM, the Voice of Harlem, from 3 to 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Check them out, actually, at WATR.org. You can watch and listen to them live. And I got to talk about one of my favorite things, which is sports. And this past week, as you probably know, sports, politics, and culture all got mixed up. And I got to talk about it with AJ and his guest, Dion. We talked about Trump, the protest, about policing, about the NFL, and we talked about my favorite sport, basketball. About the NBA's upcoming season, some of the recent trades, who's the best players, and you'll get to hear my thoughts on all of it. Please enjoy, and also please support AJ and his show, Overtime Radio. I will have details of how you can do that and listen to him live every Sunday in the podcast description. Have a good weekend.
Harlem, Harlem, how you doing? Harlem, Harlem, what's going on? Sorry about the delay. This is AJ. I'm your host of Overtime, the radio show. We are tuned in for one of the greatest shows ever today. There's so much going on in sports, Harlem, and we're here to talk to you about it. As always, you can tune in and join us at WACR.org. And feel free to call and join us at 212-650-6903. I'm joined today by two of my good buddies and most opinionated brothers, Greg Neesmith. What's up, G?
Hey, what's going on, man?
And my guy, D Ski, frequenter of the show.
Peace, peace.
All right, fellas, it's a lot going on. It's a lot going on.
It is. I don't know if 90 minutes is enough time.
Oh, we're going to jump right into it. And I said on your show, and thank you for having me on, G, I said on your show, sometimes I like to kind of tiptoe into the stuff, you know, make people wait a little bit. No, we get into it. G, you voted for this man. He is not our president.
Stop. For people who might be listening for the first time, they might think that you are serious. I did not vote for the bully in chief.
Okay. Okay. That's a disclaimer. But Trump had a lot going on this weekend. And I try my best not to be so political. You know, for anyone who's listening, you're free to have your own political views and feel how you feel. Vote how you want to vote. Mine are mine. G is G and Dion is Dion. But I think we can all agree on the stuff he said this week or weekend was totally out of line, out of pocket.
Yeah, we have that clip whenever you want to play it, too.
We're going to get to that in a second. We're going to get to that in a second, G. First, let's just outline a few things, right? Even before the Trump thing started, we have Jemele Hill, right? Jemele Hill is a ESPN anchor who does a show, SC6,
yep.
From the His and Her show with Michael, I forget his last name.
Michael Smith.
Michael Smith, very good show. I like those two together. She came out and said that Trump is a white supremacist, and this was about a week or so ago.
Yep.
She said he's unfit, he's unqualified, and he wouldn't even be president if he wasn't white. I'm trying to find where she's wrong.
And it turns out ESPN couldn't find much of where she was
flaw
wrong.
Flaw either, right?
Because she still has her job.
Still has her job. But even that was in question because the White House or the press secretary came out and said, you know, this is, I'm going to quote the word she used. She said it's a fireable offense. And it's outrageous. I don't know what was outrageous and what was fireable.
No. And our president shouldn't be telling companies who they should hire and fire anyway.
At all.
Do I have to be politically correct on this show?
No. One of the things about the show is we do not want anyone to be PC. We want you to be straightforward, speak your opinion, and tell us how you feel, D.
Well, absolutely. I just want to set it off by saying this. Thank God for Donald Trump.
Okay.
Thank God for Donald Trump. And I'm going to say it like this. The reason I say thank God for Donald Trump is because Donald Trump has no fear in stating what is being stated all over this country by many under their breath and then smile in our faces. President Trump has the gall to say certain things that not many will say to our faces, which leads us to believe that certain things don't exist anymore. But with President Trump saying what he says, it puts everything out into the forefront to where it has to be dealt with. It has to be spoken about. You know, it's no more of, oh, this is not going on. I saw something today where, and I don't really like saying too many names, but I saw Ray Lewis took a knee today.
Really?
Yes, Ray Lewis took a knee today with the Baltimore Ravens during the national anthem.
Wow.
Now, you tell me what's been going on these last 2 weeks and how Ray Lewis has been basically defending,
to some degree,
you know, his owners.
Many would say to some degree.
Yes, yep. his owners, and defending certain stances taken against Kaepernick.
Right.
And now, because our President Trump, thank God for President Trump,
yes.
Our President Trump has the gall to say what he says, now it brings a light, a certain light to people that still were a little blind, to the fact. Now the light is so bright in your eyes that you have to at least acknowledge it.
I'm going to do you one further, yep. D, and on the thank you Trump tip. All right. I want to say thank you to the fact that now that he came back and said some craziness, now you're starting to see people really start getting on board with this whole protest thing. At first, I think it was kind of like here and there. People were kind of tiptoeing around. I think now you're starting to see the masses say, okay, now we need to really start supporting each other at the very least to stand up against him. Forget whatever Colin Kaepernick was saying. We're talking about standing against Trump's words, your president's words now. So I agree with you. Thank you, Trump, for being such a bad person. I want to use certain language, but such a bad person that now you're bringing more people together.
Yeah, and I think to build on what you said, Dion, for some people this is uncomfortable, but he's forced people to like have to pick a side. And I think up until now it's been like, oh, he goes off the hinges
off the
sometimes
cup, yeah.
Or he's just talking in regular talk or water cooler talk or locker room talk, like, but I still am like okay with him. He's gone so far now that it's like, no, you got to make a choice.
Yeah,
like, you with him
or you against him?
Are you against him? And that's often never comfortable. Think about like with our family and friends, you know, something will come up with someone that's close to you, someone does something to them, and then you kind of have to pick a side. Like, I'm going to no longer either rock out with that person or I'm standing by my people. And I'm going to be very interested to see from here on out what side are people really on. And I think we might discover a lot about ourselves and maybe some people we know that we thought we knew,
right,
that we don't know that well.
Which we, oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Which brings me to Jemele Hill,
mm-hmm,
you know, that we were just talking about. White supremacy is very real.
Okay.
White supremacy is very real. And I'm not saying that because you're a certain hue or a certain color that you got to choose a side. But we have to acknowledge that white supremacy is very real. So choosing your side means, are you for white supremacy? Or are you for freedom, justice, and equality?
Yes.
What are you for? Mm-hmm. Are you for white supremacy or are you for freedom, justice, and equality? I think that's the line. It's not, oh, I'm white, so I'm with the white side, or I'm black, or I'm with the black side. And there's some that are mixed, you know?
But sadly enough, that's how a lot of people see it. A lot of people see it as, I have to be with this side because of race, or that side because of race, and not right or wrong.
Yeah.
And at one point, I do want to touch on something I had a conversation with my wife about last night, was I think now you're starting to get, quote-unquote, the right people speaking out. Right. Before, I think the problem was Trump or someone would say something crazy, but the right people weren't speaking out. Right. You can be vocal, there's nothing wrong, but the right people weren't saying anything. I think now you're starting to get somewhat of the right people doing stuff. LeBron says something major, which we'll get to. I think Aaron Rodgers, they said, took a stance. I believe it was at practice, though, but I think he took a stance for the anthem. You start to get those right people, and there's still more right people that need to say something against Trump for it to actually mean something. Because LeBron can say something, Colin can say something, and all these other people can say, but if the right people aren't saying it, then I don't think it holds as much weight.
If I'm not mistaken, has Colin said much recently?
He hasn't said much recently at all.
He's kind of letting this flame. To me, he's kind of letting this flame.
Right. But and to me, and this is something, I mean, we're not going off the path, but to me, I think he needs to say something. And maybe not about this, but just in terms of him getting a job, I do believe he needs to step up and say he wants to play. Because right now, a lot of people are fighting his battle for him. Right, and there's nothing wrong with that. I think he did enough to start the conversation, but now you need to be in the conversation as well. I'm not going to let you fight my fight.
I know, and so people know we don't always agree on everything.
Okay, all right. Is this one of those moments?
Well, yes and no. So leaders, whether they want to or not, get to like lead by example, but also they get to say stuff. So I'm not mad at you for expecting him to be vocal because he's a leader, whether he wants to be or not.
Well, not even on the topic, but just tell people you want to play.
I know, but my pushback would be when Jay Cutler signed a contract with CBS Sports to be an announcer for them, he didn't issue press releases. He didn't tell the Dolphins and other teams, like, hey, guys, I want to play. They went and got him because they felt like his talent warranted being – hey, we're going to reach out to him. I don't care what he said. Like, he's saying and doing stuff that says he don't want to play football. I need a quarterback who can play. I'm going to go get him. So I say that all to say, and the same thing's with Tony Romo. Tony Romo hasn't said anything about wanting to play football. But I bet you if somebody goes down, someone's going to reach out to him. Colin Kaepernick has earned being reached out to when teams need quarterbacks. And so I don't need him to say he wants to play because he's been interviewed by the Seattle Seahawks and by the Baltimore Ravens. Why? Because he wants to play football. That's all I'm saying.
I like this. I like this. Well, okay. We got live action.
Live action.
That's all I'm saying.
Without further ado, let's play what Trump said about the NFL. Let's see if we can pull this up.
Wouldn't you love to see one of these NFL owners, when somebody disrespects our flag, to say, get that son of a bitch off the field right now. Out. He's fired. He's fired.
And the crowd goes wild.
And the crowd goes wild. I mean, this is a very serious conversation and a very serious moment. But it's laughable. Like, this guy is just, and we go back to Jemele Hill, unfit, unequipped. Like, I don't know any other way to describe him as a president. You know, I mean, this is just, I'm not overly political. I actually did not get in heavy into politics until probably the Barack Obama era leading into this era. I don't think there's ever been a president that is made like him.
No.
It's almost like, how did we get here?
I think,
sure,
sir. To be honest, when we talk about Trump and we talk about politics, we could call Trump the president, but I think he is far from a politician. He is far from being politically correct, and so all of that, you know, saying he's not fit to be president or fit to be a politician, I don't think he's even trying to be a politician or trying to be the president. He just is who he is, who was an elected official.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So with that being said, that's why I say thank God for Trump, because Trump is being exactly who many of these type of people are in this country. In this country. And he is just being himself and not worried about, oh, am I going to ruffle a few feathers? Oh, some. I don't even think he really cares how many feathers he ruffles on our end. He's just being who he is.
Well, here's a quick fact, and then I'm going to let you say your piece, G. The NFL is 70% black. Obviously, the players don't make the decisions. The owners do, or above them make the decisions. But how do you make that comment with such an overwhelming number of black players is beyond me. G.
So to pick up on what Deion said, even if he does care about our reactions or how folks perceive him, he probably goes, it's working. I beat 17 other men and women in a primary being calling Mexican rapists and drug dealers. I ended up getting nominated to be the Republican nominee saying that I grab women by their you-know-whats. Or that a judge whose parents are Mexican, but he was born in America, and an American judge from Illinois can't preside over the Trump case because his parents are of Mexican heritage. And that's textbook racist statement. And then he wins the election. And his approval rating has actually started to tick up since the Harvey and Irma
because and of his response
the strike he did on the country over in the Middle East and so forth. So guess what? He's like, I'm working. What I'm doing has me winning.
Yeah.
And plus the fact no one's saying anything to him about stop or anything like that. Everyone kinds of walks on eggshells around him.
And just one other thing I'll say, and I talked about this earlier on my show. I remember being picked on when I was little. And I remember I came into the house one time and my dad, I told him, and they could tell, like, I'd been beat up. I'm like sad, embarrassed, all this stuff. And I'll never forget, my dad was like, you got to go back out there and fight. And you got to go back out there and tell him, like, not again.
Right.
I say that all to say that Trump
tell
to me.
Fight him, jeez.
Yeah, and I was thinking to myself, like, this is terrible advice. Like, why? I said that in my head. Obviously, I didn't talk back to him. But I went back out there. I lost the fight. But I did win the battle of you don't pick on me. And I also said I'm not having it. To your point, I think we've gotten to the point where talk is not enough.
I agree.
Like, I can't. So I'm glad that LeBron, I'm glad that other politicians, I'm glad that people are speaking out about it. But that would be just like me walking back out to the bully and saying, don't pick up me anymore.
Yeah, especially when
and not having taken any action.
But especially when he's already in his groove.
Yeah, like, you know, he's in his groove. So talk is part of it.
Yeah,
but I'm like, well, now what?
And I think we're joined by a caller. Deborah, are you there? Deborah, if you hear us, Deborah, call back, please. Sorry, we was trying to get through that segment. But Deborah, we would like to hear your opinion, so make sure you call back. I mean, this is a never-ending thing with Trump. Never-ending. Caller, are you there?
Hi, I'm sorry. That was my phone.
Okay.
You know, you say that, you know, you have to talk. You have to do more than talk. You got to start somewhere, okay? But see, the other side to that is that you have to stay, together, because I listen to a lot of radio. And these people, I don't care what he does, he could rape 100 women on Times Square, and some of these white women will actually say, "Well, he might have had a bad day," and maybe it's a. They will make excuses for him, no matter what he does, and it's really, really scary if you're not careful. Because a lot of times, you ever see, like, when you do something really, you see somebody do something really stupid, and you know it's wrong, but you chuckle and you laugh.
Right.
And you go like, oh, shit, you do so-and-so. They haven't stopped chuckling. And they are more than willing and happy and proud. You see, when your father sent you out, the other young man, when your father sent you out, people were not doing what they do to people like they do today. So when you go back out there now with your brethren, you're going to have to be gladiators, because these people are not playing. They are not playing with you. They are truly not playing. And the women are no better. Some of them are worse. And I have seen them.
Yeah, and to that point that Deborah makes, 53% of white women voted for Donald Trump after things like his comments that he made specifically about white women and assaulting them.
Exactly. So when people were all set to jump on black women, oh, you didn't vote for Hillary, blah, 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 blah. And I heard this brother step on the radio one day, and he broke down everything in terms of stats, the data. And once he broke it down, everybody shut up because they went back to their corners and they looked up everything like they already knew what had happened, but they were prepared to blame us as usual. You cannot turn your back on your people. And that's why they do what they do to us. They give more credit to the Latino community than they do us, because we will give credit to everybody else. We always want to help everybody else. That's like you having no bread in your house, and you finally get a few pieces of bread, and instead of you feeding your wife and son, you go next door to somebody else. There's something wrong with us. Mm. It's not about being mean. It's just about having some common sense and understanding that you are important. You can't take care of anybody else until you take care of yourself. And people laugh at us. You know, I've seen people in church honestly open up their hand. You know, like when you throw money in the basket and they pretend like they're putting money in. And then after they hear the speech from the minister, they get up and they walk out. That's what they think of you and your God. Hmm. And their God is Donald Trump.
Interesting.
So, I don't know. But I know you're going to play LeBron.
Did you have to add that in, Debra? You just said a nice speech. Now you're going to talk about LeBron like that? Yes, Debra, we're going to play LeBron.
So, it's good to be king.
Okay. We're going to play LeBron. Debra, thank you for calling in.
LeBron, can I say something to what Debra said that really stuck out to me?
Yes,
one
please.
Thing Debra said when she spoke about G and how, you know, G spoke about us having to fight. She says something to the effect of, we don't just have to fight, we have to be gladiators.
Right, right.
And that right there, you know, she said a lot in that clip, but the gladiator joint, that stuck with me. Because in order to be a gladiator, it takes not only physical training, but mental training. You have to be well trained in order to be a gladiator. Mm-hmm. You know, some people just go out and fight on a whim. But in this fight, this serious fight that Debra is talking about, we got to be ready. We got to be ready to be out here and be in it for the long haul. A gladiator is somebody that fights for the long haul.
Well, that's why I've always said, in order for this movement to push forward, it has to be it has to encompass a lot of people. You know what I mean? And not just one person, not just athletes, not just a sport. It has to be everyone coming together, which I think to some degree is starting to tilt towards now, but it has to be a lot of people from a lot of places, right? Because if you only hear one voice from somebody, they're going to characterize everyone as that one, right? If we all come from the same team or the same color, they're going to say, well, you're just one of them, no matter how many of us it is. So I think it needs to be more people, more diverse people from more diverse backgrounds, more diverse careers that are standing up for this one cause for it to make sense.
Totally true. And it's going to now stick with me probably to the end of time. Unified gladiators.
Yes.
Because you're right. And Debra's right. That's what it's going to take. And to your point about thank God for Trump, I think about the image I saw briefly on TV of the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Baltimore Ravens over in London for their NFL football game today.
Yep.
And I think it's the first time since this whole Kaepernick thing has unfolded that I've ever seen both teams either kneeling or arms locked together, along with an NFL owner down there. So to your point, yeah, maybe thank God that all of a sudden this is a coalition that I haven't seen before, until Donald Trump in Alabama this week triggered a coalition of people that aren't necessarily that comfortable with each other, but they all are now attempting to maybe start the path of being unified gladiators.
The flashlight is in your eyes.
Well, Trump didn't stop there. Wasn't enough. Just wasn't enough. He didn't stop there. He made a comment. He made a comment about Steph Curry visiting the White House, which I'm going to give you a timeline of.
He said Steph Curry personally?
Yes.
Yeah, he tweeted what he uses
Steph
his name.
Curry. He said Curry or Steph, but he directly was talking Steph Curry.
Really?
So let me give you the timeline, D. 9/22, September 22nd, Curry says he will vote no on a White House visit. Now, that was in a question I was asked to him or response from him about an impending meeting with the Golden State Warriors intended to have about voting towards going. It wasn't like they had already said, I'm not going to go. They were going to have a vote, a team vote to decide. Now, more than likely they weren't, but it still was going to be a vote.
Yeah.
And he said he would vote no. 9/23, a day later, after Curry already said he would vote no, Donald Trump says, I withdraw my invitation because he's hesitant. Now, I don't know. I have no idea, one, what hesitation is if someone says I would vote no. I don't see or hear hesitation in that. And two, I don't understand how you can rescind or take away something that someone said they don't want. I don't know how you do that.
You can't uninvite somebody who
doesn't want to come. That's the craziest. And we talked about this. I swear we predicted this on this show that he would say something like, I don't want you to come. After they say we don't want to come. It's just, it's laughable. Like, I don't understand this.
Oh, understand it. This is real. Oh, yeah. This is.
I understand it. Yeah,
yeah. This is as real as it gets right here.
Now, the irony behind it, and we go back to maybe this segment should be called Thank You, Trump. Right? that's the topic or the segment for today, Thank You, Trump. The irony behind it is when Tom Brady said he wasn't going to the White House, nothing. Crickets.
And hold on. And let's give this some context of why the crickets is actually even a good thing in a way.
Okay.
Obama, when you are the most powerful man in the U.S., when you are the commander-in-chief, people are going to criticize you. People are going to say stuff about you. You don't address all those things and people. Why? Because you're in a position of power. And if you say something, it's a little different than if I say something back to somebody. So I appreciate when presidents felt like, I'm such a powerful person. Tom doesn't want to come. I'm not going to like go after Tom. That's his right not to come see me. That's what presidents and people in power normally do. So at least crickets from Obama is like, fine.
Mm-hmm.
And there should have been crickets from Trump, too.
Trump is not a politician. He is a man with certain views.
And an certain agenda.
Yeah, with certain views and an agenda that got elected in. But he was not a politician before this. And there's no change now that he has a title.
Well, D, let's figure this out. Let's just ask. Greg, why did you vote for him?
I don't know why 63 million. Well, I mean, I know why some of those 63 million probably voted for him, because sometimes people choose their team over the individual. And there's people who are Republicans who were like, I'm going to vote for him because I vote for my side. Just like there's people who didn't like Hillary. They may want to Bernie, whatever. They're like, I'm going to vote for my side.
Yeah,
but now we've gotten to the point where at a certain point, someone on your side gets so out of pocket that even if it's your family, sometimes your dad or your mom or your cousin does something, we're like, I can't even condone that. We're at the point where I can't even condone that, even if you were one of those 60-something million. Like, come on, man.
But let me ask you this. What if those 63 million do agree with the out of pocket? You know what I mean? Like, you say...
We are the minority.
Yeah, you know what I mean? We say that... You know, Trump should get checked, in a sense, for what he's saying and what he's doing by his own party. But what if his party, what if the majority of his party agrees with what Trump is doing right now? And by not saying anything and not checking Trump and not, that is essentially what you're saying. Trump, go ahead. Do you.
In my mind, LeBron checked Trump.
Oh, yes.
I think he has some. A few people checked him, but let's play this LeBron excerpt.
What's up with y'all people? Just giving y'all a little bit more in-depth insight about my tweet from earlier. You know, I think it's basically at a point where I'm kind of just a little frustrated, man. Just because this guy that we've put in charge has tried to divide us once again. And obviously, we all know what happened with Charlottesville and the divide that caused. And now it's even hitting more home for me now, even more, because he's now using sports as the platform to try to divide us. And we all know how much sports brings us together, how much passion it has, how much we love and care, and, you know, the friendships and everything that it creates. And for him to try to use this platform to divide us even more, it's not something I can stand for, and it's not something I can be quiet about. You know, you look at him kind of asking, you know, the NFL owners to get rid of players off the field because they're, you know, exercising their rights, and that's not right.
And that was LeBron talking about his tweet, or basically, I guess, breaking down his tweet. But his tweet was, he called him a bum. That's some old school WWF talk.
Old soul talk.
You
know,
you bum. This is verbatim what he wrote. You bum. At Steph Curry, or Steph Curry already said he ain't going, so therefore ain't no invite. Going to the White House was a great honor until you showed up. I mean, that's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, he didn't even, in my opinion, even need to do the video. But yeah, I appreciate at all. That he added the video, but I got at exactly all. What he meant there.
And there was many people who commented on that. I mean, and on the tail end of Trump's comments, or Trump's reaction to Steph Curry's comments, I mean, many people have spoken out. CP3, Chris Paul said, stay in your lane. Kobe Bryant said, or quoted, his words and dissension inspire hatred. I mean, plenty of people are speaking out about this. Roger Goodell, the NFL commissioner, said his comments are divisive and reveal unfortunate lack of respect for the NFL and its players and what they contribute to the community. I mean, you start to see, and it goes back to what I said before, the right people speaking out. You're starting to see these things. But as Deborah alluded to, and Greg alluded to, and Deion alluded to, I think it has to be more. We got to ramp it up now, because talk is not enough.
No, and unfortunately, Deion's point is one where it's almost daunting, because I've seen some of the polling and people hear about Trump's approval rating being in the 30s or like barely 40. And they're like, yeah, 60% of Americans don't like him. And then we go inside the numbers. Almost 80% of Republicans still approve of him. So now, to your point, of those 60 something million, that means there's like 80% of that, that's a lot of people that are like, no, I approve of what he's doing. And so the reason why I now say it's daunting, because I'm sitting here going, it's a different type of ball game to win this game. Because he's already shown doing it the political way. He's like, I beat politicians. Like, you can't beat me doing it the way you normally do it, because I've done shown you that my gamesmanship, I'm at another level, actually. And so if you want to combat me, you're going to have to do things that you didn't do before, or else I'm going to keep winning.
Yeah. And you know, to what AJ is saying about the right people, you know, I think in a sense AJ means in a situation status, you know. Do you mean status in a sense?
I mean people not necessarily of us, but yes, definitely hold status and have power.
Yes.
Right? Because even though we look at our top, let's just say athletes, LeBron, Chris Paul, and them, they've spoken out, but they haven't moved the chain much. Roger Goodell speaking out may move the chain. Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, if he does. This moves the chain a little bit. You know what I mean? And we don't need it to move much. We just need it to move a little bit. And the owners have spoken out and said a bunch of stuff. I'm going to try to get those on. But those things are starting to move the chain. Those are the right people, because those are the influencers that are not of us necessarily. Maybe outside of what Colin Kaepernick was originally trying to protest. They don't experience that, or they may not have experienced that. So those are the people with the power that have, that can say something and then get everyone else aware of what we're talking about or trying to push.
A smart person told me one day, if you have a certain stance on something, right? First, they'll ignore you, right? First, they'll ignore you. Then they'll laugh at you. Then they'll laugh at you. Then they'll fight you. They'll fight you. And then you win. You know what I mean? And with that being said, this is going to get a lot uglier before it gets prettier. Believe you me. Because now, like you're saying, the people of a certain status, and you're saying the right people are starting to say something. Best believe President Trump and those that feel the way President Trump feels, it's going to be a lot more tit for tat, because he's going to force the issue. This is a forced issue right here where the flashlight is in your eyes. You know how when a flashlight is in your eyes so close that even when your eyes are closed, you still kind of see that glare.
You can feel the brightness.
Yeah, you can feel the glare. You know what I mean? You can feel the brightness right on you because it's that bright in your eyes. It's going to get a lot uglier before it gets prettier. And thank God for Donald Trump.
Thank God for Trump. Here's two things I want to, leave off with before we cut to a quick break. University of North Carolina declines their White House visit. That's the NCAA champs. So right now we have knowingly NBA champs and NCAA champs. I did read something some time ago that the WNBA champs would possibly do the same thing, which I could see that happening.
Yeah.
Hockey, I think, was on the fence, I want to say. I'm not sure, but I think they were on the fence. And also, this is one thing that is very intriguing. Bruce Maxwell of the Oakland A's was yesterday the first MLB player to take a knee during the anthem.
Wow.
Right? So now we're a year and a half past Colin Kaepernick's situation, and this is the first MLB. Now that is big, because MLB is very strict on their policies and how they treat their players, how their players should treat the game and all that. That is big. G?
Especially big because – I saw in the news the other week where there was a fan that somehow smuggled a banner into Fenway Park,
Boston, yep,
that said that racism is as American as baseball.
Hmm.
And so whenever you start to see now race, and to your point, the tension of the flashlight being on what is America's pastime, it's about to get messy. And oftentimes messiness and tension and stuff is needed, to your point, the fight part, to get to the better place.
Yes, absolutely. And being that this is a sports radio show right here, it's just ironic, like how LeBron was saying, how sports is supposed to unify and bring us all together. It's great. But I think it's ironic that sports is being a major tool right now to shed this light on this American pastime, And we all right here are pretty passionate about sports. And it makes it uncomfortable when you're using something that you're so passionate about to deal with something that's bigger than all of us.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. I got to put Trump in that same boat I'm about to put LeVar in. I don't want to talk about this guy no more. But it's he constantly does stuff to get talked about.
There's no way we could have done a sports show
without talking about
this weekend.
Yes,
without,
it's impossible.
Yeah, you wouldn't have been talking about sports actually if you didn't talk about Trump this weekend.
But can I say this?
No.
All right. No problem.
I'll tell you what, D. Whatever you got to say, because you're very passionate about it, let's bring it back on the next segment.
Yes, sir.
We're going to take a small break and come back. You're tuned in to Overtime, the radio show. We'll be right back. What's going on, people? You are back, or we are back. You're tuned into Overtime, the radio show. I'm your host, AJ, with two very, very good brothers with very, very strong opinions. Got my guy D Ski in the background.
Peace.
And my other guy, right hand, left hand man, G.
Yes, indeed.
We're going to get right to it. We not wasting no time today, G. I know, because you always on my case about what we talk about, how we wait. Mello.
Hold on. Time out. We talking about basketball before four?
We talking about basketball before four. It's going down. Today is going down.
I'm glad I am here today.
Today is going
down. You have finally come. Talk about shining lights. I'm glad that you have seen the light and the NBA gets to be talked about in the first hour.
Yeah. I like to hold off. I like to hold. You know, I like to give them a little something and then bring it to them. Mello, New York Knicks have finally got rid of Mello. Melo was traded, or is expected to be traded, I should say, to the Oklahoma City Thunder for
chips,
Gatorade, knee brace, Enes Kanter, center, not bad, I like him, Doug McDermott, not bad either, I like him, and a second round pick in next year's draft. Thoughts?
Championship.
For?
OKC.
Really?
Of what?
Nope.
Champions of Oklahoma City.
Nah.
What do you think? Steve, give me your thoughts. What do you think?
I'm glad that he is out of New York, because I think he needed or wanted a fresh start, and so the Knicks, it seems like for decades, have needed a fresh start, but it's time for another fresh start for them too. I don't think this is a big deal, though, in the sense of it's not going to impact the outcome of the season in the West. I still think the three best teams are Houston, San Antonio, and Golden State, even with this move. And I don't see it mattering that much.
I would like to see the melodrama, no pun intended, but I would like to see the melodrama that happens between PG, Westbrook, and Carmelo, to see who kind of takes the back seat, who's going
to
be.
Somebody has to.
Yeah, some two have to in a sense, because one is going to be ball heavy. One of those three is going to need the ball in their hands most of the time.
Well, you would like to think that Westbrook, the reigning MVP and the motor of the team for so long, would – hold on, G. I think you mad. Look, G, hold on 2 seconds. You would like to think that his whole frustration with the organization has been he did not have help. And now that he has help, you would likely think that he would be open to sharing the ball a little more. G, go ahead, man, for you.
No! Let me give
– I didn't say he should. You would think.
Let me give you an example. What if we gave Westbrook, one of the most prolific scorers in the history of the game, who can't be guarded by almost anyone, who would be a multiple scoring champ, arguably an MVP, not arguably, was an MVP, and somebody who could maybe be the second best player in the world? Do we think Westbrook would be able to like maybe share the ball with him and like be happy to have that help? Oh, my bad. We've seen that.
Mm.
And that guy, Kevin Durant, is better than Carmelo now and better than PG. So if he wasn't figuring out how to share.
But they have two totally different personalities.
And that
was the problem, I think, because Kevin Durant was obviously at that moment, and maybe today people will say, better than Westbrook. But Westbrook had the confidence and the fortitude to act like the better player. Melo is a different guy. Melo is of the sense, if I don't touch the ball two possessions in a row, that next time I'm shooting it.
Oh, so that's going to work out even better.
No, I'm not saying it's going to work. I'm just saying he's more aggressive and confident in a moment than I would say KD is. And I think he's more susceptible to pulling Westbrook aside, like, listen, I need to rock. Kevin Durant would not do that. Westbrook could shoot the ball 52 times in a row, and Kevin Durant would say, oh, good shot. Maybe I'll get the ball next time. Melo ain't going for that whatsoever.
And where does PG fall in all of this? Yeah. You know, because
I think PG is of the same creed, but I think Melo is just more aggressive. I think Melo is more, I'm going to do it myself, whereas PG may say, I'm going to try to do it within the system.
I think people have fallen in love with super teams.
Hmm. Yeah.
And obviously we know basketball, so we get it, but I don't think people get it. So for people who are like excited about this trade, I think they've been fooled by the LeBron and Bosch and Wade super team. It was actually a terrible mix of skill and how guys like the ball, how they play, two ball dominant stars. Wade's not a catch and shoot guy. Like, only because LeBron happens to be like the best basketball player in the world and Wade happens to be able to adjust that they made it work. But otherwise, you need super teams like the Boston one, where you knew each dude knew his role. You needed it like the Golden State one, where there's a system in place and personalities in place. You got three guys who think they're the man. Paul George doing commercials talking about like he should get the last shot, and then is terrible with the last shot. Carmelo has been the man on every team he's played on.
Ever.
Westbrook thought he was the man when he was the second best player on the team. This is a terrible idea to bring these three guys who do not match well. They don't do pick and roll together. They play the same type of roles on how they like the ball. This is terrible.
Did someone say we disagree a little bit, G? Has someone ever said that?
Every now and then.
Do I think it's a match made in heaven? No. Do I think it's terrible? No. And I'm going to say no just simply based off the fact that I think two things. One, well, how today's game is played, it could work. It could be a jack it up and just keep running game. And two, I would like to believe, again, I state that Westbrook now has pieces that he is comfortable with, so he's not going to try to do so much. I would like to think that. I could be wrong.
Yeah, because Kevin Durant makes me uncomfortable.
I've seen worse combinations, though. When the Knicks had went and did their whole thing with their tried to super team up back in, was that late 90s? When they got like LJ Sprewell and all the whole gang, that was awful. When the Lakers tried to do their thing with Gary Payton, Karl Malone, that didn't work.
Exactly. So add this one to that list.
We will see. All right, but let's talk about this, though. All right, while we stand on topic, NBA rankings. All right? Sports Illustrated came out with a ranking, and you know what? I didn't pull up. Maybe I should pull up the new ranking. But they came out their ranking about a week or so ago. And the top 10 are 10, Draymond Green, 9, Greek Freak.
I like him.
8, Anthony Davis, 7, CP3, 6, Russell Westbrook, 5, James Harden, 4, Kawhi Leonard, 3, Steph Curry, 2, KD, 1, LeBron. Carmelo was ranked 37.
37?
37 in Sports Illustrated.
Okay, that's better than his 64 in ESPN.
All right, ESPN had Carmelo ranked 64. Now, the notable rankings in that Sports Illustrated ranking to me was Kyrie was at 21, Isaiah Thomas was at 40, and D-Wade was 74. Now, D-Wade, obviously, my guy. We all know that. That's my guy. But 74, I see it. Kyrie at 21?
Yeah, that's – I don't know.
I don't know about that. Even Isaiah Thomas, IT, at 40. I don't know, man. Those probably should be a little higher. But once again, another year, Carmelo's ranking is going down and down, and he's more and more upset. Do you think he should be ranked higher?
He got to win.
Yeah.
Got to win.
So is rankings about wins?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Greg, that's Deion talking. Greg?
Well, I would differ from the standpoint of Anthony Davis hasn't won much, but I definitely would put him in my top 20, even though he isn't, based on his team success, he's not a winner.
Got you.
So I would say from that standpoint, when I look at what Melo can do, and scoring does matter, right? 20 points per game doesn't just grow on trees. That's of some value. That should probably put you higher than 37 because there's not 36 guys who can do that. And so he's like in my top 30.
Okay.
How did Draymond Green get number 10, though?
Yo, Draymond, these critics in Draymond kill me, right? Because Draymond is nowhere near as skilled as a Carmelo. Now, mind you, he is definitely an X factor, a very good player in the role he serves. But to be number 10 in the league as a role player is kind of like...
Because you like to use your, you being from D-Town, that would be like when he was at his best, ranking Ben Wallace as the 10th best player in the NBA.
Oh, yeah.
And I love Ben Wallace.
Yeah.
Defensive player of the year, Ben Wallace. But he's not the 10th best player in the league during that time.
At all. I mean, even making an all-star team is cool, but 10th is pretty crazy. So here's ESPN's ranks. I just pulled it up. Number 10, Draymond Green. Number 9, Greek Freak. Pretty much the same, it seems like.
Yep.
Number 8, James Harden. Oh, that's
a
change.
Wow, okay.
Number 7, Chris Paul. Number 6, Anthony Davis. I agree with those, both of those, actually. Number 5, Russell Westbrook. Number 4, Steph Curry. three Kawhi, two KD, one LeBron. So, I mean, they shuffled it up a little bit, but it's the same 10 guys.
Okay.
I mean, if you look at the list, everyone on the list is pretty much the man on their team, except for Draymond.
Well, not anymore, because Harden and CP play together now, so we'll see.
Somebody got which I think is good. Okay. We only got to get into that.
Yeah, right, and Katie and Curry are on the same team.
Can we agree to disagree?
About the list?
I think Draymond is top 10.
Where's the mute button? So,
you got a bomb? You got a bomb?
Where's the mute?
Do you got a bomb?
I need a.
Hold on, AJ. I'm open to it.
I am not open to that.
No, I want to hear.
Oh, you're open to hearing him?
Yeah, I'm open to understand, right. the Draymond case.
All right.
Hold on, before you. Deion's views are of his own. They do not reflect anyone at the station or the station.
Yes.
Now you may proceed.
Controversy sells. Nah,
that's
but
Deion talking right now.
Gotta let him know, G.
When I talked about winning, making your teammates better, the whole nine, we could talk about the finals of 2 years ago when Draymond got hurt and it was a total shift in the whole finals, and that's I could say that's why they wound up losing those finals, because Draymond was that important to the team.
Absolutely.
And we get caught up in stats and all that, numbers don't lie, the whole nine. But when you talk about an impact on your team, and an impact in the league, really, an impact in the league day in and day out, I think right now Draymond is top 10 on making that impact in that league.
Well, this goes to show you how much the NBA has changed, right? Because there have been a lot of very, very good impact players. And, you know, we can go old school with your Dennis Rodmans, your even recently Birdman, or the guy from Golden State, tall guy.
JaVale
McGee, his impact.
Bogut, I would say even
JaVale McGee, his impact on the playoffs was amazing.
We're not comparing these.
But this is my point. It's changed
he's
so much.
Trying to go at you.
Yeah, that was
he's like, well, you
NBA,
know,
Birdman.
He's like Mark Eaton.
He's trying to hit me.
I'm talking about the sense of just being a role player. The league has changed so much that now we have to consider these guys in top 10. In my mind, when you talk about a ranking, you're talking about player A is better than player B, not his impact on his team.
But
that's to me, when you talk about a ranking.
Better is in terms of what? Scoring?
Overall. Because he's not – you trying to tell me Draymond is top 10 overall skilled player in the league?
Hold on. I'm about to like
– Better than Melo?
No, hold on. I can't believe I'm about to maybe come a bit to Deion's side here. But
better than Melo?
Yes, better.
Better
than
Kyrie? Better than IT? No, come on, man.
No, the one thing I will say that Deion just made me think of is that
– Better than D-Wade?
Yeah, better than D-Wade for sure. Is that I think in today's NBA, we undervalue dominating both sides of the court.
Talk about it. Talk about it, G.
And so when you said that, it made me think about, to me, an example of Kawhi Leonard.
Talk about it.
Where folks didn't even want him to be considered as the lead MVP candidate on a team with no other all-stars. Someone who's arguably known as the best wing player in a league that's dominated by wing players. And oh, by the way, he leads his team in scoring and shoots at a high percentage. And folks were like, well, you know, Westbrook has a triple-double, and offensively Harden is making them score a lot of points. His team had a better record, and he dominates both sides of the floor more than Isaiah Thomas, Russ Westbrook, or Harden. So I can see, to your point, that Draymond impact on a game, if I'm drafting players, he does dominate and can. Game 7 2 years ago had 28 points, by the way.
Talk about it.
I'm just saying that I'm not ready to come for sure and say he's top 10, but maybe I have to rethink, like, he is maybe a top 20 player for sure because he dominates the game defensively, which is
important. He does on both sides of the court. And let's take a quick Just in case you guys wondered, this is Overtime, the radio show, and we are in a heated debate where none of these guys know what they're talking about besides me.
The views expressed by AJ aren't those.
Hey, I just want to let y'all know, top 20 is cool. Top 10 is a far stretch. There's a lot of good players who play both sides of the ball. Paul George being one.
I am anxious to know who was number 11.
I'm not.
Draymond made all NBA, by the way, which would mean he's a top 15 player.
I'll take top 15.
And he made second team, right? Which would mean he's top 10.
Gee, man.
I'm just sharing some things I, you know, seen reported in the news.
Talk about it.
Let's go to Russ. Russ Brook.
Okay.
As I mentioned before, MVP, reigning MVP of the league, just signed a new sneaker deal with Jordan. 10-year deal. The numbers are disclosed, I should say. But just based off some other deals, KD just signed a deal with Nike for $250 million for 10 years. These sneaker deals are becoming like absurd.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's almost like, listen, give me whatever you want. I'm getting $25 million a year from sneakers. Like, I don't need this little contract. Give me, I'll take this $25 million. I'll take a pay because they're giving me $25 million.
Getting paid.
That's incredible. And even on that note, talking about that note, KD says, ain't nobody wearing Under Armour. Literally, say that, ain't nobody wearing Under Armour. Now, the crazy thing to me about that is, about 2 years ago, Under Armour came at KD with the bank.
Yeah.
Yo, we want it. We got anything you want for you. I think it was like 265, something like that, maybe around the 250 mark. And to me, KD was all in. But KD ended up signing with Nike for around the same amount of money. Staying with Nike, I should say. But KD said, ain't nobody wearing Under Armour. The irony of that is his homeboy, Steph Curry, two-time MVP, right?
Yeah.
Is Under Armour's guy. So.
Face.
Let's just say you like something, D. Whatever it is, you like it. I'm your man. And I just say, all right, that's whack. Yeah. That's terrible. Nobody doing it. Nobody wearing that. Think you that my man.
Does that affect the locker room?
It has to affect something. I mean, at the very least, we got to have a conversation.
Yeah.
Like, hey, bro, you know this is what I do. Like,
I actually, the moment I hear that announced in the news, I'm looking at my phone going, there better be a text.
Yeah.
Like, right. If I'm Curry, I'm like, I don't see a text from Durant yet.
Well, Curry said it don't bother him. I guess he said they're all good to go. And that's one thing I do like about that locker room. Like, they like, whatever, man. We're going to keep winning. I don't care about this. He basically said none of that's going to affect what we're trying to do.
I think
which he shouldn't.
I think there's a certain sense of maturity in that locker room, man. That
absolutely.
Even everything going on outside of the locker room doesn't affect what's going on inside of the locker room.
And word is that they actually sat down and talked about it, too, which is the thing you do, right, when you are adults.
Yes.
And there's an issue. Instead of talking to other people, they talk to each other.
Yeah.
And that also helped squash it all, which is
absolutely
the way to do it. So, AJ, I hope you apologize to Deion
saying
that his thing was
working. I'm not. Let's take a step back.
It has happened before, numerous times.
Let's take a step back. And even with the Penny Hardaway, Anthony Hardaway, and Shaquille O'Neal riff, there was something in Shaquille O'Neal's, I think it was a 30 for 30 or something, that he said when all the beef started between him and Penny Hardaway, it was a Nike and
Reebok
thing.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So, like you said, maturity. Both of those guys were young, and this was, I don't know, 20-some-odd years ago. But there's a certain maturity level you have to have. Be like, man, I don't care about that.
Yeah.
Like, forget that.
And they both eating.
Both of them eating very well. Oh, shit. $25 million a year just for shoes, I'm good. You can say what you want to say about my shoes. I'm going to wear them to bed for $25 million a year.
Yeah, those Under Armour shoes do look a little.
Yeah, they're cheesy. They're cheesy. But.
It's working.
Your uncle, though, G. LeVar Ball. Your uncle LeVar Ball.
My uncle and them.
Guess what he's trying to do.
Sign a sneaker deal.
Sign one for what? He got his own. He got his own brand. He's trying to come out with his own shoe. Guess how much it's going to be worth? $1,000,
$1,500.
Whoa!
He says he's coming out with his own shoe deal,
yeah,
and his shoes are going to be upwards of $1,500. Now, me and Greg and Dion have debated this topic, Big Baller Brand, numerous times. What is your comment about that today, G?
You know, there's that moment in time when, I think we said this earlier in the show, somebody you cool with, they're your boys, they're your family, and every now and then even they do something like, I ain't even co-signing on that.
Yeah.
This is one, like, just because I can be supportive doesn't mean that, like, I'm blind faith. Like, it just doesn't sound like even a legit idea to sell sneakers by a dude who doesn't play any sports for $1,500.
Are they sneakers or are they shoes?
Oh, true. Fashion.
Basketball shoes. You know they're not coming out with dress shoes.
I needed clarity.
Basketball
needed clarity.
Shoes.
No, I'm not. I'm for the showmanship. I'm for him being an entrepreneur. I'm for him supporting his family and his sons and stuff. But
you're
the
not
sneaker,
buying the LeVar Edition 9s?
No,
you're not buying
those?
Some
of my credibility. I'm not everything for everybody.
Hey,
no.
For those of you who would buy some LeVar ball shoes, delete my friendship from whatever, everything.
Yeah, shine a light on
come
that.
Come on,
like,
man.
Don't, 15,
like,
no.
Let's be for real. Forget the number. Come on, man. LeVar Ball coming out with some shoes? Why? Why? If that was $20, the question would still be why.
If there was some flip-flops or like Deion said. Some
house shoes.
Dress shoes.
You got some house shoes? Yeah, okay, I understand that. Some basketball? Come on, man. Like, this is oversaturating your brand. And this is what I said before. Sometimes people do things to make their brand or their mission bad or to stagnate their mission, right? This is one of those things. Like, come on, man. Why are you
doing too much?
You're doing too much. And even with that, Lonzo Ball is coming out with shoes. LaMelo Ball has his shoe out. Why not your other son?
Nah, because he's in school.
I understand that. But at the very least, say this is what we're doing. Like, we would like to do this in the future. Or do something.
I'm not mad at them having shoes. So let's be clear. I'm on the record. His sons can have all the shoes they want.
Speaking of Lonzo Ball shoes, the ZO2s, of which I think were atrocious, and of a very, very good mock-up of a mixed Kobe and Adidas shoe. He's come out. They totally redesigned that shoe. It doesn't even look the same anymore.
Hey, they're learning while they're doing business.
I understand that. But for the people who purchased those shoes for that look, maybe – how do you just redesign a shoe?
That's a collector's item, though.
Yeah.
That's a collector's item.
The shoe hasn't come out. That shoe is not coming out.
No.
No one has that first shoe.
No one has that first shoe?
That shoe was, I think, scheduled to ship in November. No one has that shoe.
Okay.
But hold on. Okay. The new shoe that came out is not even unique. It's another mock-up of another basketball shoe. So here's my problem. Now, the new shoe does look slightly better. And I use the word slightly loosely. But the fact that you're coming up the fact that you're coming up with these ideas and calling them yours or new, but they're not. They're basically a redesign, slightly redesign, of on someone else's shoe. I don't get it. Maybe inform me. That's all I'm saying. I like what they're trying to do. I just don't like how they're doing it.
Cost to be the boss, man. Everybody's going to criticize. They might criticize how he's doing things. They might criticize the design of the shoe. That all comes with it. The fact of the matter is there's a radio show in Harlem, New York, and somebody is talking about his brand right now, and I think that is the goal. The goal is to keep people talking. Keep people talking about his brand. The more people talk about your brand, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, the marketing is working.
And we talked about this in a way earlier about Trump is in politics but isn't a politician, and that throws people off.
Yes.
LeVar Ball is doing stuff in the business world that feels like to some non-traditional business practices, and it is throwing people off.
Yes.
And I think folks are missing some of the point, which is there's a brother with a wife and three sons that he is raising, that are living out their professional dreams, that he's teaching them about ownership, negotiation, showmanship. it's also just entertainment, oh, by the way, too.
Yes.
And that nobody's being hurt or injured by all this. And I think folks are just like looking for the structured business model when it's like, no, he's not a structured business model guy, but it's working for them.
Exactly.
And I'm rooting for it to all work itself out.
Absolutely.
And no, I'm not buying his $1,500 sneakers, but I'm not mad at him for having his son's sneakers cost as much as they do.
Thank God for LaVar Ball.
Yes.
Hey, G.
The views expressed by.
If I see those shoes on you, I'm letting you know right now, I can't talk to you. Don't walk around me with no LaVar Ball specials on, all right?
So I have to call in instead of being the studio?
Yeah. You're not even calling in. I'm not even picking it up.
I'm going to come in here and put them up on the camera.
Let's take a quick break and come right back with some cool, quick facts about this week. You're tuned in to Overtime, the radio show. We'll be right back. What's up, Harlem? You are back. We are back. I keep saying you are back like y'all in the studio with me. We are back. You're tuned in to Overtime, the radio show. This is a goodie today. We're talking about everything from politics to Greg's want of the LaVar Ball 18 signature shoes and everything between. I got my guys in studio, D Ski. What's up, D?
Peace, peace.
And my main man, Greg. What's going on, Greg?
Hey, what's up, man?
If you guys want to join in with the conversation, feel free to call us at 212-650-6903. You can also tune in at WHCR.org.
You're not giving out the Facebook Live?
No, I am not. Nope. Anybody stalking me for the stuff that Dion be saying? Nope. Staying on topic of shoes, right? Here's something I found. Fun fact, right? We talked about Westbrook signing a 10-year deal with Jordan Brand. Obviously, he's the face of Jordan Brand now. I think Blake Griffin held that position for some time, but obviously Russell Westbrook is the face now for Jordan Brand. Kawhi Leonard is Jordan Brand as well. I think LaMarcus Aldridge and a few others. But needless to say, Adidas is now the new number two sneaker shoe in sales. It was Jordan Brand. I assume Nike was number one. Jordan Brand was number two. Adidas, I think, was like four or five. Now they are number two.
Impossible is nothing.
Impossible is nothing.
That was one of the taglines.
Now, I like Adidas. I like what they're trying to do. Or I like what they're doing, I should say. I'm just like, I'm so attached to my Nikes. I'm just so attached. I'm not a guy who's just like going to wear Nike because Nike, like, the shoe has to look good, has to feel good and all that stuff, and has to be affordable. But I'm a Nike guy. Gee, what are you?
I mean,
shoe choice.
Until Overtime comes out with some sneakers.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to be a Nike guy until then.
Dion, what are you?
I just like what's comfortable, to be honest. As long as they're comfortable, I'm rocking. I'm not really tied to anything.
So that LaVar Ball house shoe.
Oh, man. To be honest, if I see a triple B shoe that catches my eye, but more importantly, it's comfortable to my dogs and I can afford it, yeah, I have no problem supporting what's going on. I have no problem supporting what's going on.
Like the support. I just don't see the significance or why would anybody buy a LaVar Ball shoe? I just don't understand.
LaVar shoe, but that's different than why would they buy Lonzo shoe, right?
I get Lonzo.
I'm talking about Big Baller Brand. No, I'm not talking about LaVar. I'm not talking about LaVar shoe per se, but I'm talking about the Big Baller brand, period.
Yeah. And what they are selling, because brands are promises, right? They promise us something that either says something about who we are, who we think we are, who we want to be. And Big Baller Brands is starting to sell empowerment. They're selling doing it your way. They're being the underdog and things. So taking on the big guy. So there's some people who like that promise. And so they're going to gravitate towards, to your point, Dion, if they can afford it, they're like, yeah, I like that. I like to be associated with that.
And I might give you 30 in them.
Yeah. That'd be even better. I'm going to have you sign them afterwards.
We're going to see about that.
You better hope to take me to overtime in my big ball of brand. All right.
Well, here's a guy who came out with a shoe and was expensive, inexpensive. Steph Marbury, did you get those?
No.
Oh.
No.
Did you not get those? Is that not selling empowerment? Is that not selling do-it-yourself?
Oh, absolutely. I was a little younger at the time. They say if you
sound
if,
different. They some, say some sound different if, about you, D.
They say if you think the same way at 35 that you did at 19.
32.
Then you wasted those years, you know. And I think I just really didn't get around to it. It was nothing against Steph
They still on sale.
I didn't buy Marbury shoes, and to Deion's point, which I think the Ali quote is a man who still thinks the way 30 years later has wasted 30 years of his life.
Mm-hmm.
Is I see the world differently now than I did before, and so I saw those as like cheap sneakers that wouldn't of the quality, like, and how could something cost so little and still be so? That's me also not knowing about, like, for one, even the Nikes didn't cost that much to make either. And that, it's kind of cool that someone has a cause along with a quality of a sneaker that I could wear. I know differently now than I knew then.
I tell you what would be a monster if you take LeVar Ball's marketing / go buy my stuff approach and Steph's product / affordability and mesh those two, then you'll be onto something.
So this is where we disagree slightly. I don't want entrepreneurs, or especially black entrepreneurs, to feel like they have to choose some place. If someone wants to launch an expensive premium brand, do it. If someone wants to launch...
Yeah, I'm not saying don't.
No, but when I say the mesh is that, I don't want people to think that, like, LeVar's done something wrong by selling expensive sneakers. Gucci ain't doing anything wrong.
Yeah.
Yeezy ain't doing nothing wrong. Yeah. Nike's not doing anything wrong by selling Air Maxes and Huaraches for, like, whatever they sell them for. Yeah. So I think what I would build on what you said, AJ, is that I'm up for people launching more Marbury-type sneakers, for people launching stuff in the middle, and people launching some premium fashion high-priced stuff, too. We get to, like, play in all of it.
Yep. It's there for the taking.
Well, speaking of Steph Marbury, he recently said that he's making an NBA comeback.
Knicks.
Interesting.
Okay, what we say and what happens. I'm going to be at the Garden this fall, too.
Well, here's your question.
Nets.
Do you think he could make an NBA team?
I haven't seen him play.
I mean, word is he's been tearing it up in – overseas.
Yeah.
But to your point, I haven't watched any of those games.
Yeah.
And I'm almost certain that that caliber of play isn't the NBA caliber.
Yeah.
It's not, but there are a lot of NBA players that are playing currently in China or have came through China. But the caliber overall is definitely not the NBA, or it would be the NBA. It's definitely not the NBA. I know Steph personally. I played with and against Steph personally. And not any time recent, maybe about 18 months ago. And I think he can fit.
How old is he now?
Well, I'm mid-30s. He's probably close to 40, I would say. Had to be somewhere around there, right? From the standpoint of physical ability, I think he's good. Would he be able to go in and start or give you his most entire season? Who knows, right? The body is the body. But I think There are some guys in the league that don't do anything, probably shouldn't be there by my standards. I think Steph can go in there and get a job.
Let me ask. Oh, go ahead.
Making a team, to me, is different than do I think,
right.
Like,
can he start, part of
an 8-man or 9-man rotation?
Right.
I will say, based on today's NBA, if he's not coming to be a change of pace guy with speed, a defensive stopper, or one of those guys who, like, can knock down threes, I start to wonder from a, like, X's and O's standpoint of, at that age, what do you bring to the table?
And then I'll do you one better. You know, the last guard that at that age, I think about maybe was a kid that was
Kidd
on
Derek
the Knicks.
Derek Fisher were probably the last
Derek Fisher, but they were more locker room guys. It wasn't even about what they did on the floor at that point.
Jason, it was locker room guy. I mean, he also started and played, but he was definitely a locker room guy, veteran to help out.
Yes. He's a three-point shooter, too.
Yes.
So the maturity of Steph, you know, I don't need a 40-year-old that I got to – you know, exactly.
Well,
I need
that's 40-year-old. Well, and I think if he was to come back, he's of the mindset that he's not going to be that guy.
Yeah.
I would hope that he don't think I'm about to go in and get, you know, 38 minutes a night. Like, you come in, you're going to play spotty minutes, but you're also here to, A, teach our rookies or our younger players, you know, the ins and outs of this game, and then help us push us to the next level.
Yeah.
Because the problem to me with a lot of good teams in the NBA, they don't have any veterans.
Absolutely.
They have a bunch of young guys with no experience and no leadership pushing the envelope, i.e. Knicks.
Yeah.
So maybe he can come in and accept this role like Adrian Peterson has in New Orleans.
Oh, I'm gonna talk about AP. I love AP. I'm gonna talk about AP.
He's not
like
accepting
that.
His role.
As we close out the show, gentlemen, a very good one at that. I want to leave with two thoughts. First one is, I'm gonna come back to this one. Jay-Z in the Super Bowl. We're gonna talk about that. I want to get into that a little bit. But going off something with that G preaches on his show, the Underdog Show. That comes on right before me, or our show. Sloane Stephens, African-American tennis player, 24 years old, won the 2017 U.S. Open.
Respect.
Now, the Underdog thing comes into play. She was ranked 957th in the world leading up to that championship.
Yes.
So, by all means, believe in yourself, believe in what you are about, and anything can happen.
Message. Yeah.
Much respect to her.
All right, nice. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining me today. I definitely appreciate it. G, I love you, even though you voted for Trump. Dion, Draymond Green is definitely not top 10. But hey, anything can happen. All right. Thank you guys for joining. I will see you all, or I will talk to you all next week. Tune in for the next great show on WJCR. See you later.